Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today I want us to continue to reflect upon the training of Peter, and we're going to move into Luke's Gospel chapter 9, and we're looking at the verses which illustrate the time when he was on the mountain with James and John, and they see Jesus transfigured. It's interesting that Jesus, there were times when he very much desired company. There were obviously times when he was on his own and he prayed very sort of early in the morning through to the sun rising, perhaps on many, many occasions. But there were times when he took these three with him. And on this occasion, he's going up a mountain. And when he's up on the mountain, the Bible says he was transfigured. Now, what this seems to mean is that his clothes began to shine with an incredible brightness and just dazzling in its glory. But Jesus himself just knew a glory coming over him. And in fact, it's the glory that he had before he left heaven. Now, what also is happening is that there are two characters who appear, Moses and Elijah. So, Peter, James and John, Peter is seeing Jesus glorified. He's seeing Jesus transfigured, standing before them with a magnificence that he'd not seen before. But he's also aware of these two men, Moses, representing the law of God, and Elijah, representing the prophets. And so, again, there's just a sense in which being dropped into their lives is the realization that God's law indicates his character and his righteousness and his standards and his values. And God's prophets indicate that there's a plan that God is going to open up in the fullness of time. But there's something else, and I believe Peter would have pondered this in times to come. What we read is that there was a discussion about the departure of Jesus from this earth. Now, how much of this Peter took in, we don't really know. But that's what was happening. They were talking. It wasn't like a theological discussion, but they were talking about the fact that everything pointed in the law and the prophets that Jesus would need to go to the cross. And it's difficult to say how long away it was in terms of weeks or months, but we are getting quite close now to that time when Jesus would be taken. And he wants Peter to witness this. He wants Peter to understand. Now, of course, it's not really going to sink in. It will do eventually. But Peter does remember, and in 2 Peter chapter 1, he specifically talks about, yeah, we were on the mountain. We were there that day when our Lord Jesus shone like the sun in all its brilliance, absolutely overwhelming. We have seen his glory. And, well, whatever sense, touch you have of the glory of God, you never forget it. The sense of the presence of God, the holiness of God, it's absolutely invigorating. Maybe frightening, but it's there to bless us. We're going to pause. We're going to have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will come alongside and we'll have a little further look at this story recorded for us in Luke's Gospel and chapter 9.
Take me higher, O my Father, me spread my wings and learn to fly. In the freedom Jesus bought me, take me high, take me high. On rising currents soaring upward, I will bank and climb into the sky. I'll fly over snow-capped mountains, take me high, take me high. Take me high, higher than I've ever been before. Let me know you, Father, let me know you more and more. Take me where the angels lift up their praise to you. My voice would join with theirs, my voice would sing in worship to you.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at the story of Peter and his involvement in the Transfiguration, which we find in Luke chapter 9 from verse 28. So Jesus initially took them up on a mountain to pray. Do you think that was a regular thing that Jesus did, either on his own or with the disciples?
For sure, it was a regular thing he did. How often he would have taken them, that's another matter. Probably not so often, but Jesus did.
Mm. So what happened here? It's a very strange passage, isn't it? When you think of what seems to have happened to Jesus physically, what was actually going on, do you think?
Well, I think that Peter, James and John are being given an insight of what Jesus experienced in the heavenly sphere.
Mm.
You know, the Jesus who walked on earth was the same Jesus that was in heaven. But this sense of brightness and glory, he gave that up. He put that to one side. Because if he'd been walking around and there'd just been all this magnificent light all around him, he wouldn't have been able to do what he'd come to do. But they were to have a glimpse, and they were to hear the Father, God's voice from heaven, "This is my Son, I'm pleased with him." So it was a credible opportunity for them to see who their Saviour really was.
I mean, we talk about Jesus being God, but what we think of is the man who walked the earth. But here we do seem to see a picture, if you like, of Jesus as God, don't we?
Yeah, well, very much so. And of course, John is going to have a vision of Jesus that you can certainly relate to this vision.
Mm.
You know, on the island of Patmos, he's going to see that brightness, that sun shining in its full strength. So it's a taster of something that's to come.
So, again, I guess we're speculating. Why did this happen? Was it for Jesus' benefit, or was it for the disciples' benefit?
Well, the fact that Moses and Elijah appear, and the fact that they talk about his departure, would seem to indicate that this was primarily for Jesus' benefit. And indeed, the voice of Father from heaven, "This is my son." So there was clearly benefit for those observing, but perhaps the major benefit is for Jesus himself.
And what are we to make of Peter's response? Because Peter is the one who says something. What do we make of what he said?
Well, first of all, we're not surprised, mm-hmm. because we know that's the character of Peter. But he responds by indicating, why can't we stay here forever? Why can't we have this for all time? And of course Jesus says, no, we've got to get back down to the lower part of where we are. There's work to be done. But of course one day they will see his glory and enjoy it forever, as indeed by God's grace we all will.
Yeah. So what then finally was the effect, you think, on Peter of witnessing this? Because as we said before, he was destined to become a leader in the church.
I think that the lasting impact would be that he would know in the depth of his heart who Jesus really is. That didn't mean that he'd never wobble, because we know he did. And it didn't mean that he wouldn't go through areas of big questions and so on. But at the bottom of it all, he knew. I mean, he said, didn't he, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Mm.
There's kind of an awareness that Jesus was more than just what the eye could see. And this was another thing to reinforce that.
OK, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk. Thank you.